Well, welcome to Ironworks, and you who may be watching online, hard to believe, next to the last Ironworks. Blake's got one more to do, and we're done for the year. Seems like it just flew by, didn't it? It's a great blessing. This morning we're going to talk about faith or sin. There's a choice there. As we continue on our study of those who were not worthy, as I was studying for this, I was reminded of a long time ago when I was a little kid. Now, some of you guys might have trouble picturing me as a little kid. I was never really that little, but I was a kid at one time. And where we lived in Pennsylvania, we used to have, how many of you remember Howard Johnson's motels that had their restaurants? Yeah, we had, I guess they're still around some, but a lot of them have gone out of business. But our Howard Johnson's had clam bakes, fried clams on Wednesday nights, all you could eat. And on Fridays, often they would have a fish fry, all you could eat. My dad used to take us to that. He loved those things, and I think those managers used to say, "Oh, guys, throw some more fish on. Those farm boys just came in from Southern York County, and they're going to pack away some fish." And we did. We packed away the fish, but it reminded me of the great fish fry when Jesus took five loaves and two little fish and fed 5,000 people. What an all-you-can-eat fish fry that would have been, huh? I don't know. If that would have been in the north, it probably would have been cod. If it would have been down here, it would have been catfish. So I'm not sure what kind they had. But, you know, we kind of did something similar to this year. We took one little chapter, Hebrews 11, 40 verses, and we feasted on that all year long. The Lord just kept multiplying that and multiplying that. And the truths that we got out of that one little chapter, I think, were pretty phenomenal. And there's probably still a lot there that we haven't uncovered. So that's been a real blessing. Now I feel like we're going to do what they did at the end of that feast, and we're going to gather up the fragments. That's what we're going to work on today. Gathering up some fragments. And there's still plenty there for those guys. It was 12 baskets full, right? They had a lot of fragments left over. So go to Hebrews 11, verse 39 and 40. And we're going to bounce over into chapter 12 a little bit before we're done. Father, we just thank you for the wonderful feast that you provided for us this year in Ironworks off of this one chapter. What a blessing it was to learn and review all the things that you gave us out of this one chapter. Now, Lord, I ask that you would fill us with the fragments today. Bless us just like you did those people at that particular event. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 11, 39 says, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise." So, these, who are these? All these who have not obtained the promise. We have 16 named characters in this chapter 11. We have unnamed prophets. We have what Blake taught us about the last time. We have untold millions of nameless saints who suffered for their faith. I just got to thinking, if we were able to stand on the edge of the celestial city in the future and look out over the crowd, we'd have 16 men and women that were named in this chapter, but we would have untold millions of people there that we don't know their name. We have no idea who they were. unnamed sufferers from persecution, unnamed sufferers from diseases, unnamed souls who were cheated out of their lives on this earth by the hands of abortion doctors. The kingdom will be populated by untold millions of souls that you and I never heard of, never heard their names. We heard of them here in this chapter, but we never heard their names. But God knows them, and he knows them by name. And Revelation tells us that he's going to give all of us in that celestial city a white stone with a new name on it. I've often wondered, I wonder what my name's going to be on that white stone. And do I have to carry that thing around in my pocket all the time? I don't know. We're not given those details. But these did not receive the promise. Well, what promise are we talking about? We're talking about the promise that was mentioned in the very beginning of the chapter. The promise that was given to Abraham. The promise of the Messiah and his kingdom, where we will dwell for eternity. The promise of that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:40 says, God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. To be made perfect there means to carry through to completion, to be completed, to be accomplished. God's perfect plan for his saints, for all believers of all ages, treated equally, all come to the Bema seat at one time. Not one group ahead of another group. And how's that happen? Well, we're out of the realm of time by that age. We're not bound by time. Galatians 3, verse 28, Paul said it this way. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. As believers, we are all in this battle together. Whether it's Old Testament saints or New Testament saints, same battle. And you know, the truth is, we are much more effective when we operate together as one. And you know, that just brings to my mind, that includes what we have in the Old Testament. There's a foolish idea that goes around our society today in churches that we just need to ignore the Old Testament, forget about the Old Testament, and stay on the New Testament. And I like what one well-known pastor in an interview said, if it wasn't for the Old Testament, I don't know that I could believe in the New Testament. We're all one. We can go back to that time into the day we live today. We're all one. It's all the same battle. Hebrews 12, we're going to jump into 12 just a little bit here. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're surrounded. What we've been studying is that great witness that surrounds us from way back there in the Old Testament up to today. People of faith who followed God and give us the example that we need to do the same. Because of what we see, the witness that they left us, we need to lay aside every weight. You know, when we come to Christ, often we come carrying baggage from the past. Envy, jealousy, injustices that we feel like they need to be righted, bitterness. God says, put it down. Put it away. You can't fit through the narrow way carrying that baggage. It's only going to weigh you down. It's only going to cause you to stumble. One of my favorite guys from history is General Lee after he surrendered at Appomattox. He went to Richmond. He got his wife. He moved to Lexington, Virginia. And there was a lady who he became president of Washington College, which today we know as Washington Lee University. And there was a lady who confronted him as he was walking down the street one day in Lexington, Virginia, and said, "General, look at this tree on the corner of my property. This tree has been on our property since before I was born. It's probably one of the oldest trees in this town. And when those Yankees come through here, they filled it so full of bullet holes and shot and shell, it's dying. It's just, what can I do? This is part of our heritage in our property in this town." And General Lee wisely said, "Ma'am, cut it down. Just cut it down." He knew that that bitterness that she held over that little piece of property, a destruction of her favorite tree as a kid, was only going to cause bitterness and trip her up for the rest of her life if she didn't just get it out of her life. He said, "Cut it down." Sins that entangle us, like an animal entangled in barbed wire. It can't run. It'll starve if it stays entangled in that barbed wire. Now listen, the truth is Satan has designer sins that only attract you. He can put stuff in our way to stumble us because he knows by observing us that this kind of stuff can cause us to stumble, and he'll do it every chance he gets. Paul talks about sin in Romans 7:17. He says, "But it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me." He knew that sin dwelling in his heart that he didn't deal with was going to cause him to stumble. The same sin that dwells in us may attract us to the wrong woman who's not our wife, may attract a woman to the wrong man. The same sin that attracts people to the drag queen attracts people to people who are powerful, people who lie, the opportunity to cheat and to steal to get ahead and make ourselves more attractive, we think. The sin is what entangles us and prevents us from running our race. When you see these runners, these Olympic runners, you don't see them carrying a backpack on their back, do you? They get down as light as they can get, and they run like a wind because they're not entangled. Paul talks about this same thing in Titus 4:7. He said, I've finished the race. He referred to our walk, our Christian walk, many times as a race. How do we do that? Well, we look to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." This faith that we have been studying all year has been originated and created by Jesus himself. He starts it. He brings it to completion. Now, which one of us could have or would have ever designed a plan like this? Didn't come from humans, did it? It came from Christ. He joyfully went to the cross on our behalf. And yet he despised the shame that he had to endure. And in executing this plan, it earned him a seat by the right hand of the Father. Now think about Jesus and what he endured. Hebrews 12:3 and 4 says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls, you have not resisted the bloodshed striving against sin. Listen, are current events making you weary and discouraged? We have not suffered anything close to what our brothers and sisters are suffering around the world right now and have suffered in years past. I often say that we in this country are God's spoiled kids. Think about what Jesus suffered at the hands that should have been worshiping him. Think of how sin drives some absolutely to absolute insanity. The very idea that someone who I disagree with must be silenced by killing them is actual insanity. And that's what sin is. It's just another drives us to a point of being insane. We recently saw this carried out in the murder of Charlie Kirk. Here was a man who took the gospel and took it into the public arena and openly discussed it with anybody who would discuss or argue with him. And those who hated his message killed him. Should we be surprised? The same was done to Christ by those who were insanely driven by sin. That is why Jesus taught us that hatred is akin to murder. Every hate-filled murder can be traced back to Satan. Everybody still alive back there? All right. It can be traced back to Satan. Satan dupes stupid, sin-filled, hate-filled people to do his will. And it never accomplishes what he intended it to do. Satan's plan always backfires on him. Doesn't stop him from continuing to do them. The war against God. Charlie's death did not silence his voice. It only magnified it. There's more people talking about him and about that situation than there ever was 6 months or a year ago. Listen, the truth is, guys, we suffer very little persecution. But we are in a position to spread the gospel further and faster than any generation in the history of the world. And we ought to be involved in that. I used to hear it say years ago, church isn't going to do anything until it's persecuted. Well, that's a sorry attitude to have. We have freedom. We have freedom to spread the gospel and to be involved in the ministry of his word more than any generation in history. I remember in 2018, Billy Graham went home to be with the Lord. And one man who I was acquainted with was very upset. He was convinced that the church may not survive without Billy Graham. Lord, come quick, because how will we ever make it without Billy Graham? Well, the truth is, our faith is not in Billy Graham, the wonderful evangelist that he was. Our faith is not in Calvary Chapel. Our faith is not in the men who pastor and lead the Calvary Chapel movement. Our faith is in Christ and in his word. We are unshaken by our circumstances because what 1 Corinthians 2:5 tells us, your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. No faith or faith in the wrong things will only result in sinful thoughts and actions that will come between you and God. We need to place our faith in the right things, the right person, our faith in Christ. That's what we've been looking at all year. And all the examples we had of men and women who had faith in their God and did enormous things, miraculous things. And think of all the millions that we don't even know their names that endured suffering and all the things that they endured throughout their life because of their faith placed in the right person. So I think that's one of the main things we need to dwell on from this particular lesson. Strengthen your faith. Keep that faith in the right thing. All we see going on around the world today is not the world coming apart. It's Christ's kingdom coming together. And that's what we got to keep our faith in and trust that he's going to work it out. He's not doing it the way I'd do it, and he's probably not doing it the way you would do it. But he's doing it, and he made us a lot of promises, and he's going to fulfill all of them. Well, I think that we have probably collected enough of fragments to take to our small group. Let's go to small group, and let's discuss this, and let's grow and strengthen and hone this faith that we've been studying and run the race that he has set before us. Amen. All right? Thank you, Father, for your time, for the truth of your word, for just faith in the exciting events that are happening. I mean, we are privileged to live in one of the most exciting times in the history of the world. And we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Give us good small group discussions, and we will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.